Would you turn your Bible to 1 Samuel chapter 21? All right, we've been following our man David in the book of 1 Samuel. First, we start with a prophet named Samuel, and followed by the people's choice king, King Saul, and who disobeyed the Lord, and now we are studying the new character, David. He's the God's choice and has a heart after God's own. To train David in the way God wanted, he systematically started to remove all the David's spiritual crutches from him, starting with his position in the king's court, then followed by his wife, Michal, and his mentor, Samuel. And what happened to him last week? Jonathan, his best friend, he lost best friend. God isolated David to the point where he couldn't turn to anyone except who? Yeah. Himself and God. Yeah. And David is on the run. He is a fugitive with a bounty on his head, dead or alive. Preferably emphasis on dead, right? Mm-hmm. Make it easier for King Saul. He's the very man who killed the Philistine giant known as Goliath, 9 feet 9 inches. He's the one who is the giant killer. With one small stone, he killed the giant. But it was not the stone, it was the Lord who put the power behind that stone. And the Lord used David's simple faith and complete trust in him. While others look at Goliath said and they said, he's too big and he cannot be destroyed. But in David's heart, he's too big. I cannot miss him. Yes, he's the man, and now his faith is faltering. And he's running away from his enemy like a scared little puppy, without looking unto God, who saved him from many harm's way. Finally, here's the note portion. God has taken away one more thing from David, self-respect. Self-respect, and that often turned to relying on his own strength and scheme. God does not want us to come up with our own ways, but he wants us to depend on him, because he has stored up the best things for us while we try to settle with anything but God's best. All right, let's stop and pray. Father, we thank you for your word that we are about to receive. It is true. Man is the only one that when we don't know where to go, we run wild instead of simply surrender ourselves to you. Father, remind us we must rely on you. We must depend on you. We must trust you, whether it's a big thing or a small thing. Father, we are asking you to speak to us. Not man's opinion, but through the Holy Spirit, that we may hear from you. Anoint our heart to hear from you, and anoint the one who speaks. Father, we are asking your will be done. Your name will be exalted. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 21, please. Now David came to Nob, Ahimelech the priest. And Ahimelech was afraid when he met David, and said to him, why are you alone, and no one is with you? So David said to Ahimelech the priest, the king has ordered me on some business, and said to me, do not let anyone know anything about the business on which I send you, or what I have command you. So and I have directed my young man to such and such a place. All right, give me your interpretation, please. He's lying. Good. Plain and simple, right? Okay, that's a good observation, but tell me, what's that got to do with the observation? Let's hear from him. So that's your interpretation? Okay. Okay, still observation. Okay, the lying, is that good or bad?
Yeah.
Okay, come up with your own interpretation. What to do with the lying when you have an opportunity to come to lie? What would you do? Hold on, I'm gonna hear from him.
Yeah.
Even if it give you a disadvantage. Okay. Anna. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mikey?
Oh.
Yeah, there's only one mic here. Good observation. Manny, hold on, hold on. Manny,
yeah,
what he said. Okay. Yes. Honored. Okay. Okay. Suzanne, what he said. Desperate people do tend to do things. Yes, Manny. Mm-hmm.
Where the confidence is.
With that, I agree. With that, hold on a sec. I have a question back to you. Let's say I decide our church need money bad, okay? We don't. We are not that desperate. Let's say, since the church need money, why don't we heist the bank?
Okay?
Okay? I'm making an extreme example.
Very good.
Okay. We can get money. If you plan well, you can get money. Yeah, plenty of guns. That's not an issue. Huh? You're being recorded. Doesn't matter. And we even have a lawyer in the midst of us. She said, I'm not listening. Does it mean result justified means? Does it mean because we are going to do good things for the Lord, does it mean that we can get away with it? Okay. All right. We'll keep that in mind. All everybody keep that in mind. Okay, Gary. All right. With that, I'm going to ask you another question. Does all deception bad? Is it all the deception bad? Yes, no.
No?
No? All deception costs something to somebody, no matter what. Yes. I'm going back to what Manny said. He pointed out a very important thing. Wouldn't it be better if he, since he came to the tabernacle where the priest is, wouldn't it be better he trusts God and asks a priest to pray with him using Urim and Thummim? Try to say that real quickly a few times. Huh?
Can you say it
once? Yeah. Urim and Thummim. Anyway, wouldn't it be better if he prayed first? But he, again, as what Gary said, self-preservation tend to take a first step before logical thing, spiritually logical thing. All right. Good interpretations. All right. Yes. The way she raised her hand is almost in the class. Me. Yeah. If I don't let her, she's going to be on top of the seat. Hold on, she's going to talk. I'm going to. All right, Manny. All right, David began his day great as a fugitive, but he settled well. He went to the house of the Lord. He has come to the house of the Lord, but when he came, he lied to protect himself, self-preservation. After all, David is a son-in-law of the king, right? And he's there all alone. Ahimelech is not used with that kind of he was used with a son-in-law coming in with a big entourage, not single person. By looking at David, probably he's disheveled, and he was not altogether wearing the king's son-in-law's clothing. And I wouldn't doubt that he was been crying. Yeah.
He probably.
I cannot hear you when you hold your lips like that.
I said he probably.
I don't think so. Ahimelech does not know anything about it.
I think he did.
Yeah, no. All right. In many ways, we can understand why David lied, even sympathize with him. Many of us would have done the same or worse in the same situation. However, the lie David just made up cost Ahimelech's life and his family's lives later. There's no such a thing as a harmless lie. All the deception have cost one way or another, whether it is a big or small. Am I making sense? Verse 3. Now therefore, what have you on hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in my hand, excuse me, or whatever can be found. And the priest answered David and said, there is no common bread on hand, but there is holy bread. Note that, please. If the young men have kept themselves from women, then David answered the priest and said to him, truly, women have been kept from us for about 3 days since I came out. And the vessel of the young men are holy. And the bread is, in effect, common, even though it was sanctified in the vessel this day. So the priest gave him the holy bread, for there was no bread there, but the show bread, which had been taken from before the Lord, in order to put the hot bread in its place, and on the day when it was taken away. Now a certain man of the servant of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord. And his name was Doeg, an Edomite, chief of the herdmen who belonged to Saul. Stop there. All right, give me your interpretation, please. Yes, Anna? Okay, observation. What? Someone said, to be a good liar, you have to be a genius, because you have to remember all the lies you made. And you don't have to be a genius to tell the truth, because just said, tell them once, and talk about the same thing. Okay, who else? At wit end. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Yes, Manny? Outstanding. Outstanding. Good job. The things we should note here, 2 things, as Bill said, he did not have a bread. He did not have a provision. Why? Because he was running, he didn't have a time to prepare himself. And what does it mean? When we don't trust God, what does it mean? We don't have a word of God feeding our soul. Right? He's not getting... Not only he's not getting physical food, he's not getting spiritual food. Our Lord is our daily bread, is it not? Yeah. The Word of God is. He's not getting it. He's not feeding his soul. His soul is in famine situation. Another very important thing. Ahimelech, he did the right thing. He broke the rule of a priestly rule, but he did not break the God's law. Yes? I'm going to talk about it, but Ahimelech is looking for the ceremonially clean.
Yes.
Yes. Manny,
no,
you raise your hand.
No, I'm
you're trying to show your armpit? Never mind. Erase that portion. Delete. All right. The tabernacle, here's a note. The tabernacle of the Lord has a table which held 12 loaves of bread that are known as holy bread or show bread, S-H-O-W, show bread, symbolizing God's continual fellowship with Israel. Once a week, bread would be replaced, and priests were to eat all bread, according to Leviticus 24:5-9. And okay, if you're like me, you're going to think about the logical thing. Don't you think that the bread would have a mold? Right? I mean, 2 or 3 days later, you put the hot bread on the table, pretty soon, you're going to have a mold there. And bread would be brittle. Do you think God can prevent that kind of problem? Yeah. All right, another note. What did the showbread mean? Literally, it means... Bread of faces. It is bread associated with and to be eaten before the face of God. And to eat the showbread was to eat God's bread in God's house as a friend and guest of the Lord, enjoying his hospitality and fellowship. Eating the showbread was a powerful way of saying, Lord, I love you, I seek your face. And I'm in your presence. I want to be transformed by seeing your face. Have you ever heard from somebody said when you pray, to not only seek the hands of God, but seek His face? Have you ever heard that? Seeking hands of God is asking for something. Give me this, give me the tangible things. Is it wrong to asking tangible thing? No, it's not. But we should seek His face, seek Him more than His hand. Why? Because we can get what we need according to His riches and glory. That is a promise of God. But when we seek Him, we get to know His heart, we get to do His things, and He will provide what we need no matter what. So meeting our need becomes side product. The foremost important thing in our heart is having a fellowship with Him. So Ahimelech was only concerned about eating bread is to be ceremonially clean according to standard in Leviticus chapter 15. Okay, here's another note. In giving David bread, Ahimelech broke the priestly custom, but not with God's word. He rightly understood that the human need was more important than the Levitical observance. This should take us to the confrontation between Jesus and the Pharisees. Remember, I'm sure you guys remember that portion. When Jesus' disciples were criticized breaking religious custom, remember they were hungry, so they were eating some of the kernel of the wheat on Sabbath day. How dare you eat that kind? To them, okay, as remember there were. You have a field, you are not supposed to harvest the corner. What's the corner for? That's a social security system. For those who do not have food, or those who are passing by, if they are hungry, they can glean the portion. And they can scoop them up and put them in the mouth, start to chew, become like a cereal, I guess. Mm-hmm. And they did that on Sabbath. And what's wrong with the eating? No, that's not what they're concerned about. They're harvesting, they're gleaning. That's work considered by the Pharisees. To them, it's a problem. To them, it's a violation of Sabbath. Did God make that? No. Pharisees made that. Yeah. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 1 through 8, Jesus was approving what Ahimelech did. And he and Ahimelech, Jesus and Ahimelech were standing on the same ground. All right, I have a question. I want you to think about it. During the conversation between Ahimelech and David, David said, "My men, they are in such and such a place. 3 days ago, I don't know how many days between when he left Jonathan and when he came to the here, to Nob, where the tabernacle was, how many days, we don't know. But didn't he leave alone from Jonathan's meeting? Now here, he said they and we. The pronoun is different. Can you explain to me? Which one is it? Was David lying with the numbers, or was he telling the truth? Lying? Okay, raise your hand. Is he lying? Raise your hand. Or, okay, he's not lying. Raise your hand. Okay, 1, 2, 3? No, Bible speaks. He lied? So you're going to go to the lie side? Okay. Well, remember, go to chapter 12 of Matthew, please. Chapter 12, verse 1. At that time, Jesus went through the grain field on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, "Look, your disciples were doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." But he said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry? And he and those who were with him, how they he entered the house of God and ate the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor to those who were with him, but only for the priest. Have you not read the law that on Sabbath, the priests in the temple profaned the Sabbath, are the blameless? And it goes on. Okay. I'm the kind of person who would believe whatever Jesus said is the truth. Would that be right? Jesus said he and his men. Can we say, yeah, he is speaking the truth?
Yep, of course.
Yeah. No, I'm just telling many to wait.
If they were by himself.
Well, Ahimelech does not know that because David said we. So he was just buying what...
There was people with him.
No. David said to the Ahimelech, I tell him to stay in such a place. Okay, Mikey, you this hand. Okay, you change. Okay, Manny. Down the road, we will find David has a 600 men. Yeah, 600 men. And down the road, yeah. Huh? I'm sorry? I believe it was 600. I could be wrong, but I think he is gaining people.
Right.
And I don't know how he came up with more people. All right, stop. Mikey, remember what he was going to say. There was nobody in the presence of Ahimelech, and All right. The reason why I brought this up is that somebody trying, Bible critics, say, see, it doesn't jive. They will pick on anything and everything. So I'm trying to show you, always go with what Jesus said. If you go with what Jesus said, you'll never be wrong. Okay? All right. Their nose grow.
Well, you said that men.
Entourage, yes.
And that was the...
Probably from what Jesus said, he probably had the men outside.
Sure
No, he got that 600 men later, much down the road. All right, the point with Ahimelech and Jesus is powerful. Get this, guys. Here's a note. Human traditions are never more important than God's word itself and human needs. Human needs. The plot was getting thicker and starting to twisting here with the verse 7. Go back to verse 7. A certain man, the servant of Saul, was there that day, detained before the Lord. Get that. Detained before the Lord. In other words, that the Lord kept him there. And his name was Doeg, Edomite. All right, who is the famous Edomite other than this Doeg? I mentioned this. I'm trying to test you guys, your memory. Famous Edomite, not in the same time frame, time of Jesus. Huh? Esau, yes, he is way in before he's the founder. King Herod, Edomite. All right, let's go to verse 8. Verse 8. David said to Ahimelech, is there not here on hand a spear or a sword? For I have brought neither my sword nor my weapon with me, because the king's business require haste. So the priest said, the sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom you killed in the valley of Elah, there it is, wrapped in a cloth behind ephod. If you will take it, take it, for there is no other except that one here. And David said, there's none like it. Give it to me. All right, give me your interpretation, please. Yes? I'm sure it was a big one to match the Goliath height. But, okay, interpretation? I think you're stretching. Okay? Better? Much better? Okay? Yes, counselor? Very good. Okay. Let me remind you. David said he didn't have a provision for food. And I mentioned to you, because he did not have a word in his heart, no spiritual bread. With that in mind, can you come up with an interpretation for this one? Come on, I'm giving you all the breadcrumbs for climbing. Yes? Huh? sword. What kinds? No. Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. When we don't have a God's Word in our heart, we don't have a security that comes from it. We don't have the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. And whenever we face uncertainty and insecurity, that's the time we need to remember God's past perfect record. Remember, probably all of you been here for a long time. So you guys built the callus in your ears whenever I talk about the memorize the Word of God, read the Word of God, and you guys thinking, oh yeah, I heard you umpteen times. Whether you believe it or not, there are some churches don't talk about the Word of God. And because they don't have a Word of God in their heart, they cannot stand. It is also said that David continued in his life about it being king's business. What would be a real king's business at this moment? Real king's business. Killing David. Yeah. David did not have a sword with him. He was unarmed physically and spiritually. The reason why David was running scared is that he didn't keep the word God in his heart. He forgot, preferably chose not to remember the faithfulness of God, who came to his rescue when he was facing bear and lion when they attacked his sheep. He's the one, the Lord is the one who protect him, came to rescue when he was facing 9 foot 9 inch tall giant in front of him. Yet, all of a sudden, he forgot all of that. I always say this, what the Dietrich Bonhoeffer said. The sin does not make us to discard God. I'm paraphrasing. But give us forgetfulness of God. We forget about God so that we can continue in sin. Yes. Manny. Yeah. Who made that happen? Yeah. Yes. That's why I said, whenever we face the trials, whenever we face temptation, we need to remember the faithfulness of God. And I mentioned this to you before. Write it down when God answer your prayer. Put the date on it. Whenever you face the trouble, go back to those things and remind yourself how faithful He is. All right, here's a note. The priest was reminding David the sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom you killed in the valley of Elah. As many mentioned, shouldn't David think about God's faithfulness by then? Yes, he should have. The David said there is no better sword than Goliath. I disagree with him. The Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit from Ephesians 6:17, is much better than Goliath. Yes, Anna? You're stretching your arms too?
Sort of.
I don't know.
It's even worse in Saul because Goliath was weighing out how much armor he had on and all this stuff. That.
When he has nothing, I guess that's better than nothing. Yeah. You know, this is just, since he mentioned, isn't it too big? You guys know I carry gun. I'm into the shooting. I use a 9mm handgun. There are some people carrying 50 caliber handgun. Mm-hmm. Do you know how big that is? Mm-hmm. Honest goodness, it's this big, mm-hmm. And it's always carried by the drug dealers. It's like a why? Why do you have to have the cannon? Yeah. Yes, sir. Ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
What's happening?
Yep. Before we all get hyped up against David's shortcoming, we too often have the same problem like him. Instead of looking at the one who created heaven and earth with his command, and the one who calmed the storm in the presence of frightened disciples, and the one who parted the sea, Red Sea, and allowed the 2 million people to cross the bottom of the dry seabed, and with the same standing water, he let entire Egyptian army to be drowned. And you see, here's a note. There is no one greater, no one more loving, and no one more caring than our God. I didn't put the blank spot on that thing. Sorry, my bad. Just circle the greater, loving, and caring. All right, another note. Again, I forgot to put the blanks on that thing. Instead of demanding God to explain the situation we are in, we should ask Him what we can learn from it. Huh? Yeah, you, instead of demanding, the circle of demanding, and circle what we can learn. What and learn. Very important. If you demand explanation while you're in trial, God will simply prolong your trial time because you are not getting it. I'm not getting it. Have you ever been there?
Yes.
You keep on asking why, and so he said,
more,
since
more,
you,
more.
Yeah, more. Not a good thing to ask. Verse 10. Then David arose and fled that day from before Saul, and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servant of the Achish said to him, "Is this not David, the king of the land? And did they not sing of him the one another in dances, saying that Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s? Now David took this word to heart, and was very much afraid of Achish, the king of Gath." All right, give me your interpretation, please. Okay, observation, interpretation. Okay, good. But I want you to pull out a little more from there. What kind sword does he have? And this Gath, remember, Gath is the hometown of who? Goliath. How bad can it be, right? You carrying that humongous 44 Magnum or 50 caliber handgun into the with a name blazing on the side, Goliath sword, and he walking in with the Goliath sword. It's, wow, that's brilliant. Okay, good. All right, Anna. Wow. True. Sin make us stupid. Yes, Manny. What she said. Okay. Good. Good job. Yeah. Whenever we try to outmaneuver the difficult situation without the Lord, we find ourselves further into trap. In other words, out of the frying pan into what?
Fire.
Into the fire. And how much better if we trust our God, great God, from the beginning. After fleeing from Ahimelech, he escaped to Gath, as I mentioned, it's a hometown of the Goliath. Did you notice the people of Gath called him the king of Israel? So he is the main guy they're trying to go after him. Some king that he is, no queen, no country, no kingdom, no subject, no friend. All he has at this point is a self-respect. But that's gonna be gone as well. All right, it didn't make sense for a man who carried the Goliath sword to go to the Goliath's hometown. It didn't make sense for a man who sustained the sacred bread, sustained by the sacred bread, to find a refuge among the pagan. It didn't make sense for a man after God's own heart to change his address to Gath, his enemy's hometown. This is the kind of thing that we do when we are doing things without God's direction and the Word of God.
That's the last place for him.
It is. That's why he went there.
Yeah.
He's trying to outmaneuver Saul. Yeah. That's why he chose to go.
His own thinking.
Yes.
In his own strength.
Keep your finger there and go to Jonah, please. Jonah. You know the guy who did the submarine thing? Yeah. Verse 1, chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, and saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, and to their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Nice try, right? Get that, guys. He I want you to note two words. Went down to Joppa and found the ship going to Tarshish, and he paid the fare, note that, and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Why do I say note those words? When you do your own thing, when I do my own thing, we go down and down and down. Not only that, he had to pay the fare. He paid the fare and all that while we're going down. But if he, after he repented from the fish stomach, what happened? He got the free ride to the other side. All right. Let's go to Psalm 56. Psalm 56. Yes, Manny? You saying something? No? Yes. Note what it says at the beginning. To the chief musician, set the silent dove in the distant land, Michum, of David, when the Philistine captured him in Gath. In chapter 21 of 1 Samuel, does not say anything about being captured. He was captured. And be merciful to me, O God, for men would swallow me up, the fighting all day, and he oppressed me. And goes on in verse 13, you have delivered me and delivered my soul from death. Have you not kept my feet from the falling, and that I may walk before God in the light of the living? He starts with a bleak moment and ends with the praising God. All right, go back to chapter 21. Let's finish this portion. So that he changed his behavior. David changed his behavior before them and feigned madness in their hands, scratched on the door of the gate, and let his saliva fall down on his beard. When Achish, the king, said to his servant, look, you see the man is insane. Why have you brought him to me? Have I need of madman that you have brought this fellow to play madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? All right, give me your interpretation. Anyone? Okay, self-respect, that's a good observation, and I want you to come up with the interpretation. I want you to pull out a little more from there. Get it, Diana. Hey, Bill. Look what Akish said. No, I want you to look a little deeper. Good point, Bill. Good point. Pretending to be a madman. Hold on, Chris. Yes, Manny. Okay. Chris. Okay. And that brings what kind of interpretation? Okay. Look what the Akish said. Why have you brought him to me? Have I need a madman, and you brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? So it goes on. He was looking down on the once commander, right? The man of God. When we rely on our own strength, we might give an opportunity to those who are around us to ridicule the name of God. All right, so there's a note. If we rely on our strength, sometimes it takes us down to the level we have to act like crazy or frantic people, though that is not what we are. This gives an opportunity for those who are around us to ridicule us and ultimately our God. Our sin gives an opportunity to blaspheme the name of God. You guys remember the sin of David when he committed the adultery. Nathan, the prophet, said, if you need more, I could give you more. It's God speaking to him. But you, because of what you've done, you give an opportunity for the pagan, or I'm paraphrasing, to blaspheme the name of God. Yeah. Yes, Manny? You're waving, connecting the dots. You can find them in the circus. That brings a good point. Before we go talk about that, anyone have a NIV? NIV, New International Version? I'll just read it to you. It's kind of comical in my opinion. Achish, verse 14, and NIV says, Achish said to his servant, look at the man, he is insane. Why bring him to me? Am I so short of madmen that you have bring this fellow here to carry it like in front of me? Must this man come into my house? I guess Achish had enough nuts and fruitcakes in that kingdom, much like California. Yeah, Mr. Gary, pretense. Yeah, at the cost of what? He at the cost of self-respect and the name of God. Yeah. So he went from the national hero to the madman. David fallen from the pinnacle of success to the death of disgrace. When we lose, listen carefully, please. When we lose self-respect, some people become suicidal. Not really. God could have snapped it if God was not in with David. Can you do things without God? No. Can you do whatever you want?
God.
Yeah. Sure. Can we do the things, bad things without God? At this point, he's trying to survive. He's in unsurvival mode. Yeah. Did God know about it?
Of course.
Okay. And by doing so, he survived because yes, he tried to outmaneuver the Achish. Mm-hmm. And God, because God had the hands on him, he was able to get out of there. Mm-hmm. He pretty much, do I need more of the madman? Get him out of here. Mm-hmm. So he got out. But the bottom line is, at the cost of his own self-respect and at the cost of the name of God, he already gave him opportunity to blaspheme the name of God. Mm-hmm. Because they knew that this guy, the guy with a slingshot, could not possibly kill the 9-foot-9-inch giant by himself. They believed that God was behind, God of Israel was behind. And he is the one who is running around with the acting like a madman. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
Servant Gaul. They knew exactly who he is. They already said, isn't this the king?
Yeah, isn't
David. Yeah. That's not a denial. That's just a way of saying it.
I don't know.
Peter started cussing in here.
Okay, but it's not mentioned in the Bible, so we'll pass that portion. Nice try, though. Yeah. He was doing everything he can to get out of jail. That's what he was doing. All right, Manny. No. 56. Yeah, I do encourage you to read the 50 Psalm 56. That's why I wrote it in your sermon note. Okay. Anna. Demon possessed? No, absolutely not. Or sometimes they just act like James. Yeah, correct. However, when a person, it depends. When a person opened their door of mind to the occult things, like a playing Ouija board and into the tarot card, that kind of thing. When a person actually get into that kind of garbage, it's pretty much an invitation for the demons. That's why I am very staunch when it comes to the occultic things in our home. I don't want to have nothing to do with that. And when our daughter was young, when she was growing up, there was a cartoon called the He-Man. Remember?
She-Ra.
That's when I was a baby Christian. We let her watch that kind of thing. And then I realized what we are doing is that we are allowing her to get into occultic things. So I told her no more of that, and she stopped. Yes, Manny? Yep. Just like you have to invite the Jesus in your heart for you to be Holy Spirit possessed. Are you with me? That spiritual being cannot come into you unless you allow those things to come in. Not all insane people are demon possessed. But, yes. All right. Two applications because we are running out of time. Good discussions today. Peace of God will guard our heart in any situation as long as we choose to trust his faithfulness and promises. Let's not forget his faithfulness that brings God's peace into our heart. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, I want you to read at home. Second application, it is absolutely normal for us to be scared when we are spiritually hungry and unarmed. But the Word of God is our bread and sword. Let's not forget them. Hosea 4:6, I want you to read at home. All right, the next final note. Spiritual body need to be fed with God's Word daily through our daily devotion, just like our physical body. We also need to exercise by serving others. Otherwise, our spiritual body going to be either malnourished due to the lack of Word of God or become glutton because we hear the Word of God but doing nothing what they learn. I call them pew potatoes. Pew potatoes. Instead of couch potatoes.
Ked,
bread.
Yeah. Which have been from before the Lord was taken away. Isn't that like it reached its ex new stuff?
Yeah, there? When they take it away from the show bread table, the priest would eat that. And they will put the, before they put, they take it away, they bring the new bread in.
Right.
It's not breaking any.
Well, not godly, like we were saying.
Yeah. Custom, because only priests should eat, not anybody else except priest. And David certainly was not priest because he's from the tribe of Judah, not Levite.
But his bread have been.
Yeah, it can be cast and thrown into the garbage if they don't eat all of it.
Yeah.
But it's the people who can have is the priest
just
only.
Priest only.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Okay, Mr. Gary, coming up.